Amen. If you would, just bow your heads for just a quick minute. And Lord, now we would ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, for just the warm fellowship of your presence in here this morning. Thank you for the healing that took place even through the fellowship, Lord, and the love, Lord, the kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you. We don't take that for granted, Lord. Yeah. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Give us a word this morning, Lord, to help us to navigate through a broken world, a decaying, fallen world, Lord. And without your word, what do we do? Where do we go? What do we say? How do we conduct ourselves? But thank you that your word is our standard, not the culture, not the world, but your word is our standard. Challenge us to live it, Lord, and apply it and to share it. We thank you on this morning. We're so grateful. Lord, we're going to go after you. We're going to seek you and your righteousness, Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And we know that everything else will be added unto us. But we're going after you this morning. We love you and we bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 12. So we are in the season, one of the most exciting seasons in the life of a Christian would have to be the Easter season, Palm Sunday, Easter season. So I'm going to deviate just from our regular series this morning. Our regular series of putting on the old and putting off the old and putting on the new, casting off the old, to talk a little bit about the last days of Christ, what it means to us, how we should apply that to our life today. And then obviously next week, would it be an Easter Sunday, we'll have a resurrection message. Amen. Take this opportunity in these uncertain times to share Christ with somebody on your job. Invite them to church. They don't have a church home. Invite them to church. Research shows that 75% of the people that get invited to church will come. So we just need to invite. And most people make it a tradition or a custom to go to church on Easter. So invite them to come. Let's all try and invite someone next week just to church. Amen. I've been at churches where I wouldn't want to invite people because you don't know what you're going to get. I hope y'all don't feel that way about South Bay Abundant Life Church. We try and do away with the games, the tricks, the gimmicks, and the drama, and we try and give people God. Amen? So invite them, and I believe they would be blessed. As we've always been doing Proverbs, let the Proverbs replace the horoscope this year. Get into your Proverbs every day. Chapter 20 was really, really good for those of us that have already read. It is very insightful. So get into Proverbs. Let's keep going after God, seeking God. Amen. John 12, that's a verse 1. Here we go. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So here we are, 6 days before the Passover, some of the last days of Christ before he is going to trial and gets crucified and then subsequently resurrected. He's going to Bethany, which is about an eighth of a mile from Jerusalem. To Lazarus' house. Lazarus had been dead, who Jesus raised from the dead. So that's just imagine the scene. A few days prior, Lazarus was dead. Jesus raised him from the dead. Now they're at his house. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Underline, Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment, or the oil, the odor of oil and the aroma of oil. Okay, so three things we notice right off. We got Mary serving. We got Lazarus sitting. And do I get it right? Martha serving. Lazarus sitting. And Mary worshiping. So make a note that at some point in each day, you should be serving someone with the Spirit of Christ. You should be sitting and reflecting. Lazarus is just sitting and reflecting because he's just glad to be there. That dude said, I was dead a few days ago. I was dead for 4 days. He's just sitting like, I'm just taking all this in. I'm just reflecting on the goodness of God. At some point during the day, you need to stop and pause and say, if God hadn't done what he'd done, I wouldn't even be here. Amen. I can imagine Lazarus' eyes are probably just this big. He's just sitting at the table. So at some point during the day, we should be serving somebody. And then at some point, we should be sitting and just reflecting. And then at some point, we should be worshiping God. Amen. At some point, we should, each day, we should be doing all three of those. Make a note. I love this scene. I love what's going on. But it always takes a turn. So we got the places filled with aroma. And as we've been studying in the Old Testament, we know that there's with the different offerings, they're always making a burnt offering, a trespass offering, a sin offering. And it fills the air. And so sweet aroma to God, just like when we pray to God, our prayers fill the air. And it's a sweet smelling aroma to God when we're praying. So we should always be trying to worship God and fill the air with the sweet incense of prayer. Amen. Verse 4, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Be careful what people say, because it sounds good. He's such a good guy. He wants to get the ointment and sell it and give it to the poor. Be careful what people say. Watch their actions. So one who's always talking the loudest that you got to watch. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put in there. He just wanted to get some money. He ain't care nothing about the poor. He don't care nothing about God. He's right in the midst of God. You could be right in the midst of God and care nothing about God. Judas is a perfect example. And then he's the one who would say, why are you going to church and giving that church your money? Don't care nothing about the church, don't care nothing about God, and want to make it about money. And forgetting that money is just the tool, not the assignment. And those of us who tithe and we give our offering, we know God can do more with that 10% than we could ever do with the 90%. And it's never about money, it's about, do I trust God? Do I believe what God's word says? You always got those. Here's Lazarus sitting at the table, just been healed after 4 days dead. And all he can think about, he can't think about the miracles of God, the grace of God. He could say, I could have got some extra money if we would have sold that because it was going in my bag and I'm going to steal it. So our minds have to be renewed. You don't let God renew your mind. God can be right in front of you. The miracles of God could be in front of you, and you thinking about something else. Then said Jesus, I love Jesus. Man, leave her alone. Verse 7. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. The Jewish culture, they would prepare the bodies once it was... Once you had died, they would anoint it with oil and spices and everything. And so Jesus says, she's just getting me ready because I'm getting ready to leave this place. It says, for the poor always you have with you, but me not always. You always take care of the poor. The poor always be there. But me, I'm just here for a little while. Verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, so they came to see Jesus, but they didn't come to see Jesus, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Word had got out. So people was coming to the house to see Jesus, not really, but they just come to see Lazarus because they heard, wait a minute, this dude was dead 4 days and Jesus raised him. I got to go see this. I got to go see this for myself. Amen.
Right.
Make a note. You can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a resurrected life. They might not believe Jesus, but they know what you used to be like. They know what I used to be like. Oh, I got to go see this. Oh, you go to church now? I got to go to that church. I got to see what's going on. Hey, don't discount the power of your changed life and the power of your testimony. They'll come looking for Lazarus, come looking at you and find Jesus. They'll see your changed life and find Jesus. That's why it's important that we have a changed life. And then here we go, verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Are you kidding me? I know Lazarus said, man, I got to die again. I just got resurrected. You going to kill me? Man, these dudes want to kill me again? Come on. This is getting old. You have the chief priests. You have the religious folk. Well, I tell you, boy, it's a lot of dynamics going on here. You have the folks who should know better, but no, they want to put Lazarus to death. Verse 11, because by reason of him, I told you, you can't argue with the power of a changed life, and don't take your life for granted what God has done. Because verse 11, because by the reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So not only do they want to get rid of Jesus, they want to get rid of Lazarus. Because of his changed life, people were getting saved. Now you see why the enemy is always trying to throw this and that at you and I. Take away our testimony, take away the power of a changed life, so people won't see how powerful a changed life is. Get us caught up in something that we have no business being in. It's just, it happens, but let's not let it happen. Because believe it or not, that some people say, I knew it. I knew it wasn't real. I knew they were just like all those other folks. And for that reason, people use it as an excuse not to go after God. But right here, because of Lazarus' changed life, many people went after God. The power of a changed life. Let's go to the prequel. Let's go to the beforehand. Let's take a look at chapter 11. Let's go to John 11. In verse 1. It's disappointing that the chief priest, and they were priests, they were leaders in the church. And just, they were jealous of Jesus. Why are you jealous if God raises somebody from the dead, if God changes somebody's life, and you're jealous of that? It's very unfortunate. And family, you know that envy and jealousy has killed so many relationships between brother and sister and mother and daughter and father and son and father and daughter and mother and son and husband and wife. And it goes on and on because somebody's envious. Somebody's doing something great, either for God or just because. And somebody say who they think they are. Missed everything. How is it Lazarus was just raised from the dead after being dead 4 days? You know, they would have the theory that the spirit hovers around the body for 3 days. That's why Jesus made it 4 days. So it'd be no question. Been dead 4 days. And instead of them glorifying God, they want to kill the brother again. Because people were starting to follow Jesus. Family, don't ever let envy and jealousy be a part of the menu of your life. Get rid of those things. It does nothing for anybody. Some believe while others can't receive. That's what it shows us at the end of 12:11. Some believe and others just can't receive God for whatever reason. Envy and jealousy have consumed them. So let's do the prequel. So we take it back. Chapter John 11 and 1. Now, a certain man was sick. Underline certain man. Doesn't say that all men will get sick. It doesn't say all men will be well. But this was a certain man that got sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So this is brother and sister and sister. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, which we just read, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. All right. So we got a couple of things going on. Number one, Jesus loves Lazarus, even though he's sick. Sometimes when we get sick, God, why did this happen to me? God, I thought you loved me. You can be sick and God still loves you. You could be going through and God still loves you. You know, some doctrines teach that if you have enough faith, you never get sick. You're never going to be poor. You're not going to be broke. It's always going to be pie in the sky. And that's this right here blows it out the water. Jesus loves Lazarus and he's sick. So when we're not at our best, God hasn't forgotten us. God hasn't thrown us to the side. God's not mad at us. God loves us and we just happen to be sick. You might need to start washing your hands a little bit more when you come from the bathroom. And before you eat, that just might be it. The body, just because of sin, the body breaks down and we get sick. He cares and he loves us even when we're sick. And then I give the sisters credit. The sisters didn't get mad at God. They went after God on behalf of their brother. So you go to Jesus on behalf of your husband, on behalf of your wife, on behalf of your kids and grandkids. Hey, my grandkids are sick. My son is sick. My wife is sick. God, I need your help. Don't get mad at God saying, oh, why did this happen to my wife? Why did this happen to go after God? Go to God and bring it to God on their behalf. Remember, if you're not praying for your wife, don't complain about your wife. If you're not praying for your husband, don't complain about your husband. If you're not praying for your kids, don't complain about your kids. The more we pray, the less we complain. It just boggles my mind. See, because then it comes down to if you believe what you've been praying for. I believe God is working on the hearts of those that I pray for. So I don't get upset with them because I'm praying for them. Brother Anthony, if I don't believe it, I'm still upset with them because I'm praying, but I don't even believe what I'm praying. So I'm upset all the time and frustrated because I don't even believe it. Although I say I prayed, I believe, but I really don't. It's between you and God. When I pray, I give it to God. I go after God, and I know God has it taken care of. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And do we even believe that? That we should pray and not faint. We should pray and not fall apart. We should pray and not lose hope. We should pray and not give up. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying. How many times a day shall I forgive my brother if he offends me? Seven times? No, seven times 70. Okay, I'll forgive you again. And I believe that. We keep moving forward. But we go after God. Verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, which means there is a sickness unto death, but this sickness isn't. Either way, God's got it covered. For me to live is Christ and to die is to gain. Sometimes the glory comes after someone has transitioned. That's a tough one, but eventually we all got to transition. Amen. But he said, this particular sickness is not unto death. It was a certain man, and this particular sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. And you know that if Lazarus, eventually he did have to die. But this time, no. So we've been healed before, and then we know 100 people had cancer and passed. We know 100 people had cancer and lived. Why? It's because of God's sovereignty. This sickness not unto death, but eventually we all got to transition unless Christ comes back before then. And for me, we need to be more concerned with where they're going, not why they got sick. Oh, God, why did this happen? How about where are they going? Let's get the message out. The where is more important than the why. That's why we got to know that we're connected to God. All right, so this sickness, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So sometimes we get sick. It's not a popular message, but it's for God to be glorified. Give God the glory. God still loves us when we're sick. And then sometimes we'll transition to be in the presence of the Lord, and God still loves us, and God's glorified at the, where it says, how precious is the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord. And we transition, and it's God's glorified through that. Now Jesus, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Somebody make a note. He loves us too. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. Look how they put the disclaimer. Jesus loved them. All right. And that when he heard he was sick, he abode there still 2 days. Jesus is going to take his time. He might not come when you want him, but as they say, you know, he's always on time. Right. So if you're in a situation, you're waiting on God. God doesn't love me. He's taking too long. He loved them. Then he stayed 2 extra days. God wants us to be patient. God is not a genie in a bottle. They didn't come running, rub the bottle, and poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? That's from Aladdin for y'all that didn't see it, okay? Jesus, I'm going to just kick back. I'm going to see how you going to act if I wait 2 days. I'm going to see how you're going to act if I wait 2 months. I'm going to see how you're going to act if I wait for 2 years. I still love you, but I'm going to kick back here so I can get the glory. Because you don't know how I'm working this thing out. Isn't that something? We get so impatient sometimes. And God said, I'm working it out. I know you wanted it yesterday. You want it to happen. I know it looks like it's the ideal situation, but let me put you on hold. Because this sickness is for the glory of God. This situation, this promotion is for the glory of God. This circumstance is for the glory of God. Kick back. I got this. It's the hardest thing for us to do. But then we know his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. He said, okay, y'all running up here. You know, I love you. He said, I love you. I love your brother and your sisters, but I'm going to kick back for 2 more days. All right, we got it. Verse 7. Then after that, he said, hey, y'all, let's roll. Now let's go. Let's pick up the story at verse 17. 11:17. Then when Jesus came, he found that they had laid him in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. There we go. I think I shared with you about an eighth of a mile. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Amen. We know that's what we do. Someone loses someone. We go and we comfort them. So it's all, you know, just the way it should be. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, sent and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Okay, make a note, verse 20. Even though her brother had died, even though Jesus put him on hold, so to speak, she still ran to God. Either going to run away or you're going to run from God, depending on your circumstance. I'm telling you, always run to God. Mary was just sitting there. She's dealing with everything. But Martha ran to God. Mary's going to come running too when she gets realize what's happening. But family, always let your situation push you to God and not away from God. Is Ivy here this morning? Ivy has left the building. Family, always let your situation push you to God and not away from God. I don't care what it is. This is one of the toughest things, that someone you love has died. And where was God? They're going to ask that question later on. We're going to get there. But where was God? Matter of fact, God took his time on purpose. I'm done with this God stuff. I've been going to church all of 2 weeks and I'm just done. God hasn't showed up at all. Hasn't moved in my situation. We have to mature, family. God will take his time so he can get the glory. Verse 2, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Somebody say amen. She had the faith she knew. But she says, but I know, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. See, now here we get into the part we've been talking about. Do we even believe what we've been reading? It always comes back to belief. And watch, Jesus is going to tell her that again. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, and this is one of the most powerful conversations in all of Scripture. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It always comes down to, do we believe it? That's why we know we just transition with God. Do you believe this? Though he were dead, yet shall live. And those of us that are alive, what he's saying is the sting of death is gone. We just make a smooth transition into paradise with Jesus. Everlasting life. We will never die. Is there life after death? You better believe it. Even in either in heaven with God or in hell, separated from God. But yes, there is life after death. Verse 26 again, and whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Make a note of this doctrine. Make a note of her belief. What do I believe? What do you believe? What do we live by? What do we stand by? What do we stand on? And when she, verse 28, and when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, hey, the master's come and he's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Somebody make a note. Run to Jesus quickly. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Verse 31, the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed after her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep. They figured she was going to the grave to weep, to continue mourning. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Mary was a worshiper. Look at that. Even in the midst of her pain and her loss, she was still able to fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship him. Number one, she ran to him and she worshiped him. So I added, allow your situation to push you closer to God and allow your situation to make you worship God. Family, when we're going through, it is not the time to get away from God and stop worshiping. It's the worst thing we could do. Everything has to, it's a mature place in Christ, but everything has to push us to God and to worship God. On behalf of your marriage, on behalf of your singleness, on behalf of your kids, your grandkids, your job, your business, your ministry, your church, your pastor, everything has to push you close to God and to worship God. It just has to mature place in Christ where we need to be, because stuff is going to happen. It's how we respond. As believers, we should respond and not react. We respond with running to God and worshiping God. Can't get around it. Watch and see. We're going to keep going. We got a few more minutes. Amen. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, somebody make a note, Jesus sees your tears. God is concerned. God is compassionate. God is love. He sees your tears. He sees everything that we go through. Late in the midnight hour, early in the morning, God sees it. It touches God's heart just like it touches our heart. He saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, and he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. It touched God's heart. We'll never be able to tell God, you don't know what it was like. You don't have an idea how it, God, stop right there. I saw my people crying on behalf of their loved ones who they had lost. I saw that. I saw your tears. but allow it to push you to me and worship me, not to run from me and accuse me like they're getting ready to do in the next verse. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. His heart was so broken, he wept too. Man, it's okay to cry. So it's okay to cry on behalf of our wives and our kids and our family. And when things aren't going right, just go in that room and worship and pray and cry. And give it all to God. It's okay. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Yeah, love will make you cry sometimes. Somebody say amen. And then here come the haters, though. And some of them said, could not this man, even at the funeral, at the gravesite. Well, I thought she went to church. Well, she was at church every Sunday. And then she got sick and died. I mean, people can be so cruel and so insensitive and miss it all. Well, why would she get sick? Why would he get laid off? Man, you was at church every Sunday. You got laid off just like everybody else. Why your kid is strung out? You was at church every Sunday and your kid used smoke and drink more than anybody else. We live in a fallen and broken world. But here's verse 37. Make this note, family. Some things we just got to go through. Make a note. Jesus could. Yes, he could have. He could have prevented everything. But some things we just have to go through. Make a note. You got to have, what do you say? You got to have a test to have a testimony. I was trying to look up a word. Timony is no word. It's timony. It's a testimony. You got to get tested. Some things you just have to go through. If God took away all the pain and everything else, we would walk around just like zombies. Robots. Verse 30, and some of them said, could not this man, he healed the blind eyes, have caused even that this man should not have died? Family, some things we just have to go through. Ignore the haters and stay close to God. You just can't get around some things. It has to happen the way God set it up for the glory of God. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, come to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. And I remember sharing with you all when we were in Israel, they took us to, I think it was King Herod's tomb. And those things are just like as big as that back door with the grooves about this big and a big stone that slides in and out. They want us to see what the tomb looks like. So when you think the disciples came and beat up the guards and slid away, it's not and opened the door and he ran out. It's not like that. It takes a lot of effort to open those tombs. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God. Comes back to believe. Make a note, family, verse 40. He said you got to, and David said he would have fainted if he hadn't believed to see. See, that's where it comes walking by faith and not by sight. It's not, I'm going to see it, then I believe. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see. It's a big difference between seeing and believing. That's what the world says. Seeing is believing. God says, no, believe and you will see. And you'll see the glory of God. If you look close enough at your life and you look back at it, you can see the glory of God in everything that we've gone through up to this point. Got to believe that you're going to see it. Didn't I tell you, you got to believe it. He told Jairus, he told him about his daughter, be not afraid, only believe. It's Mark 5:36. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that you hear me always, but because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Remember, it's the same Lazarus that was sitting at the table just quiet. He's just on. I don't blame you. I'm sitting there, too. I'm just happy to be here, folks. I don't know about y'all. But I know what the grace of God has done. That's why Lazarus, Martha was serving, Mary was worshiping, and Lazarus was just sitting. Now, I ain't got nothing to say. Do y'all know where I was a few days ago? Y'all have no idea what I've been through. I'm just sitting. I'm taking all this in. Folks, don't waste a day of your life being upset, angry. Just be grateful and sit and reflect every day on the goodness of God. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him, let him go. Let's finish up with the next three verses. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And that's why the word got out. And that's why when they were at Lazarus' house eating, people were coming. I've heard about this. I just want to see this dude. I want to see this changed life. I want to see what God has done. But I always tell you, watch out for the buts. Verse 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees, to the religious folks, to the folks who like things done a certain way. And it's all about tradition and not about God. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They look so good on the outside, but inside they're dead man bones. And told them what things had been done. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests, there they are, the priests, and the Pharisees a council and said, what shall we do? For this man has done many miracles. And that's where we're going to stop. Because that's where we are right now. It's a question this morning. What are we going to do? Jesus has done so much for us. Well, how do we respond? What do we do? And some believed and some just couldn't receive. How do you miss that? How do we miss that? Let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you in this resurrection season, Lord. All that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. What do we do with it, Lord? The miracles. If we don't realize the miracle of getting up this morning, the miracle of being able to move and live and have our being, we'll take your grace for granted. We'll go out with questions of why and not who. Mary said, I believe you to Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, if we believe to see, we should see the glory of God. Our situation is not unto death, but it's unto the glory of God. Whatever we're going through, it's for God to be glorified. Some of us is in the waiting period where Jesus, I'm going to wait a couple of days, maybe even a couple of years, but I'm going to get the glory. God, allow our situation to push us to God and not away from God. We love you on today, Lord. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you just need to start at step one, that you believe to see, that you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, shed his blood for your sins and raised on that third day. If that's you, elevate your hand. Or maybe you're here, you just want to rededicate during this resurrection season. You want your relationship with Jesus Christ to be resurrected. You want to run to him and you've been running from him. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need a place to call home. I've been visiting, but I want to call South Bay Abundant Life Church home. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, Lord. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Here we are in this resurrection season, Lord. Let us share Christ with someone. Let us live so they can see the power of a changed life, which is attractive to someone who's searching for the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and our minds, how you've encouraged us this morning, how you've challenged us, how you've strengthened us, how you confirm some things, how you reaffirm some things, Lord. Let us walk out of this church and live it. We're so grateful for your grace. So grateful for your love and your kindness and your favor upon us. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Remember, invite someone on Easter Sunday, next Sunday, and let's continue to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.